Morning, how are we? All right? Man, y'all give it up for the band. That was killing it this morning. That didn't get you excited and get some energy in your life today. We got a doctor on call and you can go get checked out. But hey, we are excited you are here this morning. We are excited to get ready for Easter next week. Who's already signed up and let us know what service you're going to? That's a little depressed. Okay, let's try it again. Let me know if you've signed up to let us know what service you're going to. Okay, even you liars that haven't, I appreciate the participation, okay? But we are excited about Easter Sunday next week. We are excited to kind of continue and bring our series, A New Why, to a culmination next week as well. In case you don't know who I am Lucas Ashley, along with my beautiful bride, Christine. We are the student pastors here at GM. We've been here for 5 years this May. It feels like 15 in a good way, just because honestly, GM has felt like family since the day we walked in the doors. And so it's been incredible to see the church grow, to see what God has done with it and through it. As you guys have been faithful to come, to invite people to be the best marketing team that we could ever have or ever ask for. And so we are excited to see what God's going to do next Sunday at Easter Sunday. I just wanted to thank Pastor Tim. You got to understand, I know for me on Wednesday nights when I teach, like this is kind of like home for me on Wednesdays. And if I'm not up here, it's a little weird, right? And so it's an honor that Tim would trust me and ask me to come up and speak this morning. So I just want to thank him and acknowledge him for that. This morning, we are going to continue down this series, A New Why. Have you enjoyed the series? Has anybody got anything out of this? I felt God speak to you with the idea of what a new why should look like or could look like in your life. Because here's the cool thing. When we talk about a new why brings up a lot of stuff. A new why kind of brings up a new passion, a new purpose in our life. It brings up this new outlook. It's as if we set off on a new journey. But the cool thing is that a new why literally changes everything. When we say yes to something that's new, when we say yes to something that redefines our life, it changes everything. It doesn't just change why we do things. It changes how we do them. It changes what we do. And it opens the door to so many possibilities that we never had access to before. You see, a new why should always cause us to desire something different. Or at least desire what we want from something to be different. Just kind of think of this. We'll do a visual. You think of some major life areas. You think of health, right? Particularly in North Texas, we all appreciate health. Now, this is physical health. It's spiritual health. It's emotional health. It's a number of things. We respect the idea of relationships a lot. These are a key part of our life, a foundation we build on. And relationships is expansive. This is our friendships. This is who we work with. This is our walk with God. Everything. And then we can get a little more specific. And we'll go to parenting and marriage, right? Parenting and marriage is something that we need to focus on daily. And it's something that when we talk about our why defines what kind of dad we're going to be or mom. It defines what kind of spouse we're going to be. A new why makes us desire different things in all these areas, including the one that no one really likes to talk about, which is stewardship. Stewardship, which is what we do with what we've been given. Now, it's not just talking about stewardship in the form of money, but God gifts you with a lot of things. He gives you his talents. And so a new why is going to push us to use the talents God gives us in a different way. It's going to push us to use the house God's blessed us with in a different way. So when you talk about a new why opens doors to different desires. It makes us desire to be different in all of these main areas of our life. It's a pretty simple thing. A new why brings a new desire. And a new desire requires change and it requires different actions in our life. But we understand that sometimes the biggest frustration, the biggest struggle we have is our inability to change anything in our life, right? Have you ever faced that struggle? Paul describes it best. I love this verse. In Romans chapter 7, Paul says, "For I do not understand my own actions." If you've ever tried to diet and lose weight, you can agree with that statement, right? "For I do not understand my own actions." In verse 18, he says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right." I have the desire to be what I need to be in all these areas of my life. He says, but I lack the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. It's this constant cycle of frustration. He says, I desire to do what's right, but I lack the ability to make it happen. In fact, I don't even understand my own actions because I know what I need to do and what I want to do, but I don't do it. When we talk about bringing a new why into our life, it changes the desire we have in the areas of our life that matter. A new why changes the type of parent and spouse we want to be. It changes the type of relationships we want to have. It changes the health of our finances, our marriage. It changes the way that we want to use what God's blessed us with. It changes that desire. However, we can all understand that sometimes our desire is not enough. You see, it should be the case that a new desire should always determine our decisions. Whatever we desire should 100% determine what we do. But it's not always that simple, is it? That's where we find ourselves saying, but I don't even understand my own actions. Anybody have kids? So you've heard this statement then. Why did you do that? What's the answer? I don't know. It's this universal answer. It's like Jesus in church. They don't know. Were you supposed to do it? No. Okay, you got the answer to that one. Did you do it? Yes. Two for two. Do you know why? No. Really? But I don't understand my own actions. See, sometimes desire is not enough to push us to the other side. It's one thing to want it, but to walk in it is different. When we talk about instilling a new why in our life, there are things that we struggle with. I say things we struggle with, you know, it's really the opposite. Our ability, the only ability we have in changing is to build barriers. Because like Paul says, I have nothing good in me. There's nothing good that resides in my flesh. I have the desire, but not the ability. So what our ability does is it creates sometimes selfishness that creates boundaries or creates borders and barriers in these areas. Sometimes for a lot of us, we use these things called isolation. And so instead of having association with other people, we isolate ourselves on an island, figure we could do it on our own. Sometimes it's things that we have no control of, like hurts, things that have been done to us by friends, by family, divorces, maybe hurts from parents in the past. Honestly, sometimes, man, we are just straight up lazy parents. We know we need to take our kids outside. We know we need to cook them a healthy meal, but dadgummit, man, it's quick to go through the drive-thru. Sometimes with relationships, including parenting, these blurred boundaries create a barrier. And parents, you know what I'm talking about there. That's that frustration and struggle that's always tempting us to be a friend over the parents. Sometimes it's fear. Man, God, the numbers just don't add up this week. I know I need to give. I just don't think I have it. Other times, it's twisted priorities. Other times, it's just that flat-out dirty demon of pride. I don't want the help. I don't need the help. I don't even want to recognize that there's a struggle there. You see, our ability is to create boundaries. It's to create barriers between where we are and where God wants to take us. That's our ability. According to Paul, he says, for I know I can't do it. I have the desire to get to the other side, but I don't have the ability to do what I need to do to get there. So when we talk about a new why, it's not the reality that we want it. No one's going to sit and say, you know what, I want to be a horrible parent. I want to grow old with my kids hating me. I want to grow up with my kids questioning if I ever loved them. No parent says that. No spouse says, I want my spouse to feel low and worthless. No one says, I want to live in debt for my entire life, willingly. No one says that I want poor health. I want bad relationships. I want bad friendships. I want a bad walk with God. No one says these things. We all know what's on the other side. We all want what's on the other side. But according to Paul, we just don't have the ability to get there.
but a new why. A new why can help. You see, we have to recognize that there is opposition between our current position and our desired destination. There's something standing in the way of where we are and where we want to be, of who we are and who we would like to become. I'll keep going back to it. I love he recognizes and realizes saying, "For I know that I do not have the ability. The desire I have, but the ability, that escapes me." See, on our own, we don't have enough to cross the gap or to disassemble the barrier. We have to realize that if we've dug the hole, we can't get out of it. I try to teach this lesson to my kids. Reagan, the other day, we were playing in the morning. Christine was out of class, and so I was like, okay, but I got to get in the shower, and then when mommy gets home, I'm going to go. And so I was like, he's like, "Can I watch my show?" I'm like, "Yeah, you can watch your show. Play with your toys, watch your show. You know, I'll be done in like 10 minutes. You know, it takes a long time to do my hair. And so once we're done, I'll come back out, and we'll play some more." And he comes running in there while I'm taking a shower. He says, Daddy. I said, "What's up, buddy?" He said, "Daddy, TV broke." I never know what that means when a child says something's broken. In my mind, it's either face down on the ground or there's a baseball through it, right? I'm like, "What do you mean it broke?" He's like, I don't know. It got messed up." Again, I'm like, "Man, your clarity is awesome." So I said, "Okay, just give me a minute." He said, "No, it's okay, I'll fix it." I'm like, "Just leave it alone, man. I don't know if it's gonna electrocute you, cut you, or what, so just leave it alone." And off he runs. So I finish showering as fast as I can and get out of the shower and with nervous anticipation walk to the living room. Again, I don't know what I'm gonna find. But everything seems fine. And it turned out he just pushed some buttons and it turned the sound off and couldn't fix it. But it was just that simple reality that I was trying to get him to understand was, "Hey man, you broke it. You can't fix it. You need to wait for me. I can figure it out." You see, a lot of times when it comes to wanting a new why, when it comes to wanting to be on the other side, we have to realize that our abilities always prove to fall short. But where our abilities stop, the reliability in God's faithfulness to provide begins. Where our strength ends, God's begins. And so when we can get to that point of Paul saying, "You know what, I have the desire, but not the ability," it's a good place to be. The danger is when we walk off saying, "It's okay, I fix it. It's okay, God, I fix it. If you messed up your marriage, you can't fix it. If you keep messing up your finances, you can't fix it. You need someone with a greater ability." It's good to have the desire, but we need something bigger. We need the promise that a new why provides. And it's this, a new why, God provides a pathway to victory. No matter what barrier, no matter what thing is in front of us, when we say yes to walking in a new why with God, he promises a pathway to victory. He guarantees this. He looks at it understanding that we need help. Because here's the reality. We need God's help more than anything. Because on our own, we are destined to continue to make the same choices. Paul says that, "I don't even understand my own actions. For I know what I need to do, but I don't do it. I have the desire, but not the ability." On our own, we are destined to continue to make the same decisions. And so we need the pathway that God promises to provide. We need for him to make a way through whatever barrier, whatever issue we have. Joshua 3, we see a beautiful example of this. In Joshua 3, just to kind of catch you up, the Israelites have struggled through the desert for 40 years, failure after failure. Moses is gone. He didn't make it to the promised land. A whole generation is gone. They didn't make it to the promised land. And there stands Joshua, an unqualified young leader. And as he literally stands at the edge of the Jordan, trying to figure out not only how to pass the river, but how to pass the nations who are stronger and bigger and better than they are that wait on the other side. St- standing at the edge of their barrier, God speaks. He says, I want you to get the priest. They're going to carry the ark into the middle of the Jordan. And when their feet touch the water, I will bury up, I will wall up this side of the river, and I will dry out that side of the river. And the people will walk across on dry ground. He says, I want you to take the ark and I want you to carry it into the water. See, here's the thing. As Joshua stood there staring down what seemed impossible, he understood that the victory he needed was above his ability. He didn't have what it took to get across. He didn't have what it was going to take to win. So recognizing God, he listens to God's voice as he says, listen, I want you to take it in to the water. Just start walking into the problem. He says, as soon as their feet touch the water, I will wall up that side of the river. I will dry up that side and you will walk across. See, first we have to recognize our need. We have to recognize that the victory we need is above the ability we have. We know what's on the other side. That's not the mystery. The mystery is not that your marriage could be better, that your relationship with your kids that could be better, that your health and that your stewardship could be better. That's not the mystery. It's how do we get there? How do I move from desire to the actual place I need to be? God says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to put me in the middle. He says, I want you to pick me up. And I want you to carry me to the center of your problem. And I want to stay there. He says, if you put me there, I will wall up that side. I will dry up that side. And one step at a time, we'll get across. You see, we must place God in the center of our problem. And this is what I love about this story. The priest didn't stand there and wait for God to clear a path. What did he tell him to do? He says, start walking. He says, don't wait for me to do something. Start walking and watch me do something. As soon as your foot touches the problem, I'll start working in it. As soon as you start going towards the issue, I'll start removing the issue. How many times do we make that mistake of just sitting and waiting for God to do everything? God, fix my marriage. God, save my kids. God, fix my finances. God, fix my relationships. God, fix my health. It's not that he won't. But we've got some work to do. God says, I'll fix your marriage, but I want you to start walking towards her. He says, I'll fix your kids, but I need you to start leading them. I'll fix your finances, but I need you to trust me with them first. He says, he who is trusted with a little will be given a lot. We've got to stop waiting for God to make a way and start walking with him while he clears it. We have to put God in the center of the problem. Church, what's the first step you need to make this morning? What's the problem you need to start walking to instead of away from? What's the thing we need to put God in the middle of this morning? You see, it starts with putting God in the middle. But then we have to fight to keep him there. We've got to fight to keep God in the center. Because that's the crazy thing about it, right? I love this. It's so easy when you stand in front of the impossible to realize you need help. You ever realize that? When your marriage hits DEFCON 5, when it goes nuclear, it's easy to know you need help. When you're 2 days from bankruptcy, it's easy to know you need help. When your kids are at the end of their rope, it's easy to realize that you need help. When you find yourself alone with no one to turn to, it's easy to realize you need help. When Joshua stood at the edge of the problem, it was easy to know he needed help across it. But the temptation is that when we start walking on dry ground, we forget who dried it up. The temptation is that although when our marriage goes nuclear that night and we need help, the temptation is 3 days later when the yelling stops to forget and to just stop. You see, the difference between those who stay on the wrong side of their desire and those who make it isn't the desire. It's the commitment and the endurance to get across. It's those who are willing to fight to keep God in the center of it. Even on the days where it seems like the problem is solved, we don't stop. We keep walking. We keep walking and we keep watching God moment by moment, drop by drop, issue by issue, separate it. And so we invite God into our relationships and we stop simply being lazy, and we invite God into our past and we don't be defined by our hurts anymore. And we design God into our community and we stop isolating ourselves. We invite God in. We stop being selfish. We stop having twisted priorities. We stop having pride. And the reality is this was not built overnight. It's not coming down overnight. I love to tell you that the reality is there's a why that can handle all this. There's a way to get through all of this. But it's not a stick of dynamite that's gonna remove it in an instant. It's work. It's a relationship. It's a walk with God, who moment by moment, when you give over things to him, fear is removed, blurred boundaries are removed, and there you stand with the ability to get to the other side where God is waiting for you, where his promise is waiting for you. But it takes endurance. The difference between those who spend their lives standing on the wrong side of a desire is not the desire. It's their lack of endurance to fight for the win. It's forgetting who cleared the path when you stand on dry ground. I think about this. I think about the priest. It says that the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan. And all Israel passed over on dry ground. I love it, keep saying dry ground. It's not even wet. It's not muddy. There's not little puddles. God doesn't just clear enough. He goes above and beyond to make it noticed that it was him. He says, on dry ground, they walked across. Now, don't tell me that didn't take work. Don't tell me that wasn't exhausting for those men to stand there waiting for an entire nation to walk across. Don't tell me it didn't take work as they stood in the middle and in their distance, they could see the possibility of destruction. They could see the wall of water standing tall. Don't tell me they didn't battle fear. Don't tell me they didn't have to work around it. Don't tell me it didn't require endurance to fight all the way until they were over. But think about this. What would have happened if when the priest stepped into the water and they saw it begin to move back and dry up? What would have happened if they would have just walked all the way across? What would have happened if they would have taken a step back? What would have happened to the problem? That wall would have come down and it would have come sweeping back through that riverbank. And people would have either been swept away or remained stranded on the wrong side of desire. We know this story. We know the story. How many people had the desire but lacked the endurance to walk all the way across? Where are they today? Are they washed away? Are they still standing on the wrong side of desire, waiting for God to just magically do something without them doing anything? Are they still stuck between the barriers that they built, desiring what's on the other side? We know the stories. Some of us have lived the stories of giving up. of fading back. I love Hebrews chapter 10. The author says, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." I love this. But we are not of those who shrink back. We are not of those who set our foot in the water and then forget who moved it. We are not of those who give up halfway and never make it across. He says, we are not of those who shrink back. We begin with recognizing our need for help. Then we place God in the center of our issue, and then we fight to keep him there. And then and only then is our inability pulled away and God's ability put in place. Only then can we look back and see a clear path between the issues that once were the barrier between us and God's blessing. Only then can we stand on the other side of God's promise, having walked through the pathway that he made to victory. I love this as we close. Joshua chapter 4. The priest carry the ark with obedience, and as soon as their foot begins to touch the waters begin to separate. God walls up the water at one end, dries it up downriver, and the people begin to walk across. And once everyone's across, once every last person is across, God asks him to do something. And I love this. I never noticed this really before, but God asks him to do something. He says, take 12 men. This is Joshua chapter 4. Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe, one man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here. Take 12 stones from here out into the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. I love this. What God says is, once we say yes to a new why, God can take the memory of our burdens and turn them into reminders of his blessings. He says, I want you to walk into the middle of your problem. I want you to walk in the same river that once stood between you and my promise. And I want you to take some stones. I want you to take the issues that you once had. I want you to bring them with you to the other side, not so that you can live in them, but I want you to stack them up one at a time so that when you see them, you're not fearful of falling into them again, but you're reminded of who got you through them. He says, I want you to go back into the problem. I want you to take the same stones you walked across and let me show you how they'll become your strength. He says, I want you to go back and see what your burden was and see what my blessings did. It's not about forgetting. A new why changes the way we see our past. That's not what prevented me from becoming the husband I am today. It's what I saw God work me through to become the man I am today. I don't want to forget my past. My past is a trophy room of God's miracles. My past failures, my past sins, my past hurts and struggles, it's not a ward, it's not the ER, it's a trophy room of God's grace in my life, so that anyone who doubts his miraculous love, I can look back and say, yeah, but look at the sinner I was. Paul says, I was the chief sinner, yet look at the grace. Look what God did when I stopped relying on my ability and started relying on his. Desire is not always enough. Sometimes we've just got to start walking forward. See, I used to think that when they built that altar, that that was for God. I used to think that they built that there as just a representation of praise to God. But I don't think it was. You see, the water they crossed was just one problem. Standing off in the distance was nation after nation they still had to conquer. I don't think the altar was for them, for him. I think it was for them. I think God wanted that there so that when the day came, when they began to doubt the desire, that when the day came that they began to doubt what God could do, he could say, look back. Look back at what were the stones of your struggle and see how I made them a victory. Look back and see what I did when you started walking with me through the problem. Look what happened when you put me in the center of it all. Don't forget the stones of your past that are stacked behind you. Victory after victory of God's. What he's done for us. A new why will always create a new way. If you have the desire for a new why, that's step one. And it's a good place to be. But it's not enough. Paul said it, I have the desire, but not the ability. For I continue to do the things that I don't want to do. The only way to change the outcome of your marriage is to bring God in it. Start walking in it today. Go pray with your spouse. Go tell them you love them. Go tell them you're sorry. Tell your kids to go away for 20 minutes and just love on your spouse. The way you change your kids' future is not to wait for God to miraculously work something. Start walking with him in their life. Get them in church, but they don't enjoy it. I don't care. My kids hate brushing their teeth, but I don't want them to have no teeth later. So I make them do it. I would assume that eternal life is far greater than some white teeth. It's okay if they don't like it. I didn't either. Yet it wasn't an option for me. And so even in the darkest points of my life, I kept hearing about the victories of God. As much as I tried to shut him off, you can't turn off his voice. When he wants you to hear him, he will make you hear him. But you can't hear him if you're not near him. Get him here. They don't have the choice. You're the parent, not the friend. Get them here. Fight for them. Even if it feels like you're fighting against them. When it comes to your finances, just start trusting. Just start trusting God. Say the numbers don't add up. They don't have to. What we celebrate next week didn't add up either. Death on a cross doesn't add up to life afterwards. It adds to death. It doesn't have to make sense to you. Just trust it. When it comes to your relationships, just trust it. Maybe it needs to be cut. Maybe it needs to be separated for a while. Not your marriage, the other relationships. Those ones at work where you know the boundaries are getting blurred. Where the talk may be getting a little too much. Consider the relationships. Invite God into them. Church, my fear this morning is that many of you will look at any of these areas and say, but it's too far gone. My marriage is done. As long as you are both breathing, it's not done. My kids are done. Again, as long as there is breath in their lungs and yours, they're not done. But my finances, my stewardship, the relationships I have, my health, or with people, with my life, it's done. It's too far gone. You don't know my past. I don't care about your past. I care about your future because I care about what God's promise can do through it. It's no barrier that he has not already overcome. That's the beauty of next week. He's not on the cross anymore. He's already cleared the path. He's just waiting for you to see it and start walking. It's not coming to you. You got to walk to it. What steps do you take today? What area do you need to surrender to God today? Your marriage, your kids, other relationships, your finances, your health. What is it? Whatever it is, and however daunting that barrier looks, I assure you that what is on the other side is not only worth it, but it is obtainable. But you got to start walking. Put your foot in the water and watch God start to dry the ground up. Just see what he does. But don't stop. Don't make the mistake and stop. Don't make the mistake and stop and have to start all over tomorrow. Just keep walking. He says, for you will have need of endurance. How many of you need endurance this morning? How many of you are tired this morning? He says, but you have need of endurance. For we will not be of those who shrink back. We will be of those who stand firm in the Jordan, on the dry ground that God cleared, watching every area of our life walk across in victory. The band's going to come out, and you're just going to have a moment. And I want it to be a moment. Not where you shut it off or start thinking about lunch. Not where you start thinking about, sweet, the lights are about to dim. Now I can go to the bathroom. Just hold it for a minute. Use this time to take that first step. To bring your spouse down front and pray with them. To go snag your child and come pray with them. To consider what areas it is that you need to put your foot in the water and start walking instead of waiting. What area do you need Jesus in the center of this morning? It's good you have desire for a new why. But sometimes desire is not enough. For I have desire, but not the ability. But where we fall short, God picks it up and continues and opens the door to pathways of victory that we never imagined in our lives. But you got to start walking. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the pathways that you create. We thank you for the promises that we have in you. It's one thing to know that you will never leave us or forsake us, but the beauty is that whatever we face in life, whatever struggle, whatever obstacle, whatever it is, if we will put you in the center of it, faithfully holding on to you and just begin walking through it, you will clear a pathway. And it's not just that you'll get us to the other side, but once we're there, you're gonna take what was once a burden, you're gonna take what was once pain, you're gonna take what was once a failure, and you're gonna turn it into a memorial. You're gonna turn it into a beautiful reminder, not of the mess we were, but of the beauty you are, of the power you have. So that when that day comes, and it will come, when we're tempted to stop again, we will look back behind us, and there it will stand. The stones we walked across will remind us of the strength you have. That nothing can stand in the way between us and the victory you have promised for us. We just gotta start walking. We just gotta start taking a step. Walk. And watch God clear the way.
Would you stand with us?